Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Kenneth Copeland today as he guides you into the presence of God. In times of need, it's comforting to know that God is 100% on your side when you come to Him by faith.
All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Remember what we said now. Whatever we're talking about, we're talking about healing, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about the new birth, talking about believing God for finances. I don't care what it is. You got to start with faith. And if you're going to start with faith, you're going to have to start with calling things that be not as though they were.
That's right.
You can't continue to call things that be not that they're not. Or to call things that are the way they are. Well, you know how it is, Brother Copeland. I call it like it is. Yeah, that's reading it don't ever change, too, Jack. You keep calling it what it is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are 100% on our side. It's better to say it like this. We're on His side. Amen. I remember when I was just a young boy. Oh, we loved to play baseball. We spent all summer long. If you didn't have enough to make two teams, you just play scrub. I don't know whether people still know what scrub is or not, but anyway, I ain't got time to tell you. If the scripture says if you're ignorant, let's stay ignorant still. So, but anyway, oh, we played ball. All the time we played ball. And if you had enough for two teams, then you got to choose up. Oh, the idea of being the last one chosen. Boy, I'll tell you, that'd give you cold chills, brother. Because you know what they're saying about that nut. But there was always a sure way to keep that from happening. Make sure it's your bat and your ball. Because if I don't get chosen, I'm going home. Y'all can do what you can. But you see, glory to God. Amen. It's our bat. It's our ball.
Amen.
And God is the umpire.
Amen.
So we don't play nine-inning games. We play till we win. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody's talking to Willie Nelson about his golf course. And they said, what's the par on your course? He said, whatever I say it is. Oh, yeah. He said, I shot 5 under par this morning. No matter what it was 5 under par. Why? It's his golf course. That's why. Amen. Hallelujah. God is on our side. We're on His side. Did you know He chose us before we chose Him? You remember Deuteronomy 30:19? I have set before you life, death, blessing, and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. Now notice what he said. I've set before you. That means I've chosen you.
Right.
Now have sense enough to choose me.
Right.
I've already chosen you.
Amen.
He didn't say I've set before you life and death. I've set before you life, death, blessing, cursing, and you stand up and say, I choose life. Well, everybody but you know that. Now, you know, you go on, you know, just go on, die and go to hell. I ain't got time for you. No. He chose us before we ever chose Him.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And right there, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. Now, he said that to Abraham. He didn't say, I'm going to. He said, I have made you the father of many nations. Now, you do this. I've already made you that. So it was time then for Abraham to stand up and say, well, thank you, sir. I am the father of many nations. Instead of I'm trying to be, let's hope we can work this out some way or another. No, he had to step in and call things that be not as though they were. That put him in agreement with God, and that means then it was.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now then, let's go back and take a look at Mark 11, 23-24. If you're going to talk about faith, you have to talk about Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, because that's Jesus' words on faith. And it doesn't get any better than that. Highest authority there is. All right. Jesus said, have faith in God. And you remember we were talking last week, we talked about having faith in the God that's on the inside. Amen. Have faith in God. Well, Jesus, what about the economy? Have faith in God. Yeah, but I got the worst mess anybody ever saw. Have faith in God. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in God. I don't care what it is. Two things. Number one, we know He can fix it. Number two, it is His will to fix it. Amen. Number three, you're going to have to get out of the way. Because you done tried to fix it and you can't. You ought to know that by now. Amen. Particularly, the more you fixed at it, the worse it got. Why? Because you're working at it from a fear base. Well, if it's based in fear, that's one of the problems in the first place. Fear is a destroyer.
Right.
All right. Praise God. Now, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Praise God. Now, let's talk about forgiving somebody. How do you do that? You call things be not as though they were. Yeah, but I don't want to forgive them. It's not optional, sweetheart. No, this is law. This is the law. And if you don't do it, you're a lawbreaker. Well, we ain't under the law. You're under this law. This is the New Testament law. Amen. The law of love. And it is a command. So, how do I do that? I do it by faith. I call things to be not as though they were. Amen. At the command of Jesus. So I take His word, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, sir, thank you. I forgive so-and-so. Now, in the name of Jesus, they are forgiven. I hold nothing against them, Lord. They are forgiven.
Yeah.
Jesse said one time, said, Lord, I don't want to forgive me. You'll be too easy on them. You know that how? Because He was easy on you.
That's right.
Amen. His mercy endures forever. See, now the thing of it is, that wasn't when God found out about that sin when you confessed it. That's when you got rid of it.
That's right.
Because He's already covered it. See? Amen. But you accepted that forgiveness and walked clear and clean of it. How did you do it? I said they are forgiven. I forgive. I forgive. I forgive. They are forgiven. And then, oh, I thank you, Lord, that I've forgiven so-and-so. I just want to praise you. I love them because you love them. And praise God, I'm telling you, they're forgiven. This includes politicians. You can't go around getting mad at politicians because thinking they don't count. Or terrorists. Or the person that committed some atrocity in your life. Amen. If you don't forgive them, they're still committing it.
That's right. That's right. That's
right. You're still suffering under it.
That's right.
I just can't do it. Put your hand right there. Put your hand right there. He can.
That's right.
That's right. He can. Oh, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Well, why is he wanting me to forgive them? To get this off of you.
Right.
To get this out of you where your faith start working again. You're going to wind up sicker than they are.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Spirit of the living God. Let's go to the Gospel of John and let's see what Jesus said here in the 14th chapter of John. In the 10th verse, he said, believe not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells within me, he does the works. Then he said in the 12th verse, verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Well, there must be some connection here of him going to the Father and you and I doing those works. Because you know good well we can't do them on our own.
Amen.
There's a lot of people think they can't do them even with the Spirit of God in them. But that isn't true. Well, you have to be an apostle. No, you have to be a believer.
Right.
These things didn't happen to the Apostle Paul because he was an apostle. They happened to him because he's a believer. It happened to John because he was a believer. They happened to Peter because he's a believer, not because he was an apostle. Amen.
Amen.
The believer. Now, how are you going to do this? Well, I'm going to go to the Father and look at this now, verse 16. I will pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter. Well, if there's another comforter, that means there's already a comforter there. And his name is Jesus. And they were in his presence.
Amen.
He was their comforter. So what I want to point out to you is the comforter that he sent is equal to having Jesus right alongside you all the time, ready all the time to answer any question, to do anything, and to move in any direction that you need in order to do the works that he did also, and greater work than me. It is equal to that. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's exciting now. I know this one fella. Oh, my. He's in heaven now. Wonderful man of God. And he was in the security business, and he manufactured house and commercial business alarms, like burglar alarms and security things like that. Well, his business out in the state of California, and The state of California passed some laws. Nobody had the technology to meet the law. You couldn't even do what they said you had to do. So the people in the alarm business, man, I mean, it's kind of all running sideways. They couldn't do it. They absolutely couldn't do it. But he said, I can. I can. And he just kept praying in the Spirit till he got it. Well, you know what that made him? Only guy on the block. Amen? Another fella that I know, He took a job that he didn't know how to do. It's the only job around. And he was a repairman for a company that repaired all different kinds of things, and a lot of air conditioning equipment and stuff like that. And he said he'd just go out there, and he said he'd take the panel off that thing and look in there and say, "Oh, Jesus." And he said he'd just take it one step at a time. Of course, he did his homework. He studied. He worked at it. But as he would read and as he would study, and then he'd go to the Word of God, and he'd stand on the Word of God for his wisdom. He'd stand on the Word of God for his knowledge. And he's did he ever get good at what he did?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'll tell you this. The man that they call the father of the stationary satellite, good friends of Gloria and mine and Billy Brim and all this whole gang, you know. And in fact, they're part of it, and part of Gloria and Billy and Terry and all the prayers. They were doing their best to figure out how to shoot that satellite out there 25,000 miles away and make that thing stand still. Or where it looked like it stand still, of course it's moving, but to stay absolutely in place all the time, 24 hours a day, day in, day out, day in, day out, like a star. You know how they did it? They'd get stuck, couldn't figure out what to do. He'd take a break and go home, and he and his wife start praying in the Spirit. They'd start praying in the Spirit. Oh, they'd pray in the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit. And she'd start interpreting. And he'd say, "I got it, I got it, I got it." Sometimes you get it right away, sometimes it took days. And then there was another man that was a mighty intercessor. I've not personally known anybody quite like him. And they were in Minneapolis at Lynn and Mac Hammond's church, he was ministering, and several people were that he was praying with, and they were all praying together. And he walked over, he got right up in front of Clyde, and he said, "Now he didn't even know what Clyde does. I mean, he got this is the most highly classified stuff on the planet. You understand that Clyde's doing with those satellites." He got on there, birds. That's what they call those satellites. Birds, come out, birds, come out. Birds, come out. Birds. Well, Clyde knew exactly what he's talking about. Hallelujah. See, God's interested in that satellite. God's interested in you. God's interested in everything He's called you to do and everything you set your hand to. He's interested. He's involved. If you just let Him get in it.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. So, now, that's what Jesus is talking about. I will pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it can't see Him. The world can't receive anything they can't see. They're not equipped to do that. You weren't equipped to do it either before you got born again. Amen. You couldn't believe stuff you couldn't see. Now, you might take somebody's word for it, but what do you have to take somebody's word for it? Faith in that person. Well, it was just natural human. I knew, listen, if my dad told me something, then it is true.
Yep, right.
I mean, that's just the way it was.
Yes, sir.
But we're talking about on a higher level here. We're talking about calling things that be not as though they were, man, like God.
Yeah.
See, like God.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying here, see, they're hearing that. You remember He also said, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come.
That's right.
Now, let's say you're Peter, John, or James, and you're sitting there listening to him say, I'm going to send you another comforter, another counselor, another helper, another standby, another intercessor. Huh? I'm going to send you another one. Now, they have to be thinking in line with what they have already experienced, having him as their standby, having him as their guide, having him right there all the time, just turn to him. Amen. The storm gets bad, wake him up.
That's right.
And finally learn, well, you know, if I can't wake him up, I'll just do it myself. Amen.
Amen.
Because he said to them, where was your faith? You should have done that. Amen. So now, I wanted you to catch the atmosphere of this. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me because I live, you live also. Now back up. Hang on to that. Because I live, you shall live also. See, you and I know what he's talking about. They didn't. And at that day, you will know that I'm in the Father and you in me and I in you. You will know. You'll have a witness in your spirit. You'll have a know that you know what you know you know you know what you know moment.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know. I'm telling you, there's no way that anybody could change it. You could beat me to death and I wouldn't change in me. Not one second the fact that the moment, the very moment my body leaves, my spirit leaves this body, I will be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, that's in me. I have that witness on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And I knew that before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost too. I knew that. Oh man, I'm telling you, I knew it. Because I knew just a few days before that, if I'd have died, I'd have gone to hell. I knew that too, brother. I had a good knowing of that.
Right.
Jesus
yes.
was my comforter.
That's right.
Jesus helped me.
Amen.
Jesus came in.
Amen.
But then he said, now. He didn't say go to Jerusalem. He said to glory me, go to Henderson, Texas. They're having a meeting over there. And she and I received the baptism. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.